because I actually have two hands free. You know how people talk with their hands? And when you've got to hold one mic, you can only like say half a conversation because you only got one hand? There we go. So, the free flowing summer series. Pastor Elton introduced this last week. It's a one-hour service. It'll be short. We'll see how we go with that. But it's all about hearing what God is saying to us for this year of 2025. Just as a thing, you know, first week back at work, who's written 2024 as the date when you've gone to write the date down? Yeah? You've got to retrain yourself into that new year, hey? So Pastor Elton and Lisa, as Sky was saying before, got to see some of the photos on Facebook. It looked like it was a beautiful ceremony. It was so good. Are we working? I keep out, do I? Don't move. Just hold still. Well, that might be hard. Move my mouth. Oh, that's even worse, Mark. Yeah, that's not going to work for me at all. We'll just, I know Corey's going to do his best to get that going. Maybe I'll just grab that one. Well, it is working. I can just have it in glorious stereo now. It's like one for each hand. I'll come back to this later. So last week, Pastor Elton introduced a series, and he started about with being chosen by God and our purpose. So the whole idea of the summer series is that as God lays on our heart a word to speak, then we're going to bring. So Elton last week, me this week. Who's next week? Is it you, Sky? Pastor Lisa next week, and then Sky. Yeah, it's awesome. We're all organized here. You can see how that's going. It's great. Heads up. Yeah, awesome. But yeah, Pastor Elton started talking about being chosen by God and our purpose. And it was a great word to start the year with. He talked about the spiritual definition of chosen, an individual or group selected by a higher power for a specific purpose or divine favor. And there were three key words. He said, higher power, that Jesus is the name above all names. Purpose, that we have a call from God, that we are ordained to do the work that God's called us to do, and favor, that God's grace and blessing is covering over us as we navigate that path that he's led us on, and that we are chosen to be the light of the world. It was a great message, and so if you haven't listened to it, please hop on Facebook or YouTube or listen to the podcast, but go and have a listen to it. It's a great word of encouragement to start the year. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is Paul Mulroney, and my wife, Carol, and I are itinerant pastors for C3 Stand. Now, you know, it's great having the new name, right? The name represents that God is calling us to draw a line in the sand and make a stand for God, and to be the change that we seek in the community, to allow God's transformative power to flow in and through us to the world around us. If we don't stand for something, we're going to fall for anything, right? Amen? Now, for those who don't know, we have a website, boldlight.com.au. Get a chance to check it out. Some info about our country ministry. But I put together some stats for our trip from 2024, and I've got that up on the screen there, if we can. Here we go. So last year, Carol and I had 18 speaking engagements. We did 13 country trips. We visited 5 country churches, and we traveled 3,125 kilometres as part of the country ministry. It was a fantastic time to go out and share with churches and encourage them and to spend time with them and build them up. It was fantastic. How cool was that, eh? So this year is looking even busier. We've already got 12 trips penciled in, which is just fantastic. It's amazing how God has just opened doors for us, and we have this awesome responsibility to visit and share life with the body of Christ in the bush. That's just a great thing. Now, over the last few weeks, Pastor Lisa has been talking about how 2024 is a year of transition. So that was Pastor Elton and Lisa's first full year as senior pastors for C3 Stand. And how in 2025 is going to be a year of transformation. Right? So last year was transition, this year, transformation. And when I first heard Pastor Lisa talking about this, it really resonated with me. There was just something about that that just kind of clicked and made so much sense. I could see that transition was all about the new leadership. And with that, new routines and new processes. The church that Pastor Elton and Lisa have, they have a style and a personality about them, yeah? And it set such a great atmosphere here, like Sunday lunches. How cool is that? It's been so great to have those. For those who come and pray before church, we have a time with the worship team that we actually pray. And our prayer nights that we come down and meet. For those who have been around a while, you would have noticed the difference between, say, Pastor Clinton and here. And I think it's been a really wonderful thing. They're doing such a great job, and I just love them as our senior pastors. They're doing a fantastic thing, and we can just see how God is unfolding in their life all these amazing things. Like this whole, marrying Katrina and Steve, which was just so awesome. I mean, the first of many, don't you reckon? How cool is that going to be? But transformation is the word for 2025. Transformation. Now, a dictionary definition of transformation is a dramatic change in form or appearance, a change in the appearance or character of something or someone, especially so that thing or person is improved. And it comes from a Latin word that means a change of shape. So 2025 is going to have a different shape than 2024. Do you agree? Amen, huh? We don't want to do 2024 again, right? No, not at all. No, it's going to be a different shape. So let's declare that 2025 is a year of transformation. It's going to be a completely different shape than last year. Amen? All right. So what does transformation mean for you? When I say the word transformation, what comes to mind? What do you think of? When I started thinking about this, first thing that came to mind was the Transformers movie, right? Awesome. You know, and there's been so many of those movies too, right? Like what happened to like number 10 or something? It's like, it's great. Robots in disguise. I remember watching them as like cartoons as a kid. Yeah. There's been a few of those. Or maybe you thought about like some of those reality TV shows like Better Homes and Gardens, right? You ever seen those where they do like the house makeover? What is it like, The Block or Renovation Rescue, where they take an old place and they go in there and they'll knock out walls and rebuild the kitchen and totally transform the place from one to another, a transformation. Or maybe you think of something like Australian Idol or The Voice, you know, where they discover the hidden talent. It's like the person, the ordinary person on the street, and suddenly you realize that they've got this amazing voice and then they transform into this incredible star. And I'm sure we can remember some of these guys that have gone from like obscurity into like, you know, onto the charts and all that sort of thing. Or maybe you can think about, in terms of transformation, those who get on the fitness kick, you know, where you go from flab to fab, right? Huh? It's actually a good thing, right? You've got to change in lifestyle, you've got to change eating habits, you've got to exercise, but you can transform. I mean, a different shape. Absolutely, I'm going from this to this. I used to have a Nintendo Wii, and it had the balance board and the Wii Fit app. And you go and stand on that, does your body mass index, and it would start off with this little skinny guy, and as you step onto the board, it kind of goes, it's like, way to go. I was like, I wonder what of encouragement that was. It's like, yeah. And then you sort of feel like it's going to say, look, only one at a time on the board, thanks, you know, right? So we're not talking about that. We're talking about doing the reverse. Yep. Should be really cool. Maybe you're a craft person and you take craft materials, bits of paper and string and glitter and glue and all sorts of stuff, and you make something transformed out of those raw materials. I can remember the ladies' craft group here with all the cards that they would do with the, like, what do they call that, where they do the layers on top of the cards? Depaché or something, or it's like they cut it all out and then you've taken just paper and cardboard and glue. You make these amazing things out of it. You know, this year at Christmas time, Carol and I, we bought a 3D printer. It's like, yeah, the geek in me steps out. And that takes filament. It's like a nylon thread, a PLA thread, and it turns it into something. So, you know, my first project was to build some replacement parts for the toys that we have for our grandies because they got broken. But we're taking something and we're transforming it into something else. Maybe you're into recycling. I remember that we had some pallets up here for some kind of event that were just going to get thrown out. So Carolyn and I, we took them home and we turned them into a vertical garden at the back of our house. So we painted them and hung them up on the wall and then put all the pot plants and stuff on it, which was really cool. And then I was thinking about transformation, and it's like maybe you've moved into a new house, and I'm sure Millie can relate to this. And when you first move into that house, it's bare. There's just sand, it's bare walls, it's nothing. But over time, you transform that from a house into a home, yeah? And like many years ago when we moved into our place, our front yard was just a sandpit, and it was just building rubble. And if you go in there today, there's plants, and there's a gum tree growing, and we've got a bird bath, and it's just this wonderful little patch of greenery that is so lush and green. And it's so good. Caroline was the one behind all that. Not me. I'm not the gardener at all. But Caroline was able to transform sand into a place of beauty. So we see transformation happening in all different areas of our life, right? But what does God say about transformation? I really believe that God is all about transformation, especially the kind that results in something new and improved. Time and time again, God takes situation after situation, person after person, and transforms them for the better, to fulfill God's purpose and to see the kingdom of God advancing. Now, if you wanted to think about examples of people who are transformed after an encounter of God, you could think about maybe the Apostle Peter, right? Because before that, he was just a loudmouthed and impetuous and all that sort of stuff, became the leader of the church. We had the Apostle Paul, who was going about, like, you know, persecuting all these believers, and suddenly has his encounter with God. Next thing you know, he's writing great swaths of the Bible that we read today, you know. Or in the Old Testament, we have Gideon, you know, where he was just cowering in the corner, and this angel appears and says, "Gideon, great and mighty warrior of God." And he's going, "Who? Me? Surely you must be looking at the guy behind me, right?" Or maybe Abram, who became Abraham and the father of many nations. You know, if you want to study something in the Bible, you could look at the way that God has taken people's lives and transformed them, and that would make a great Bible study topic. But the root word of transformation appears only a few times in the Bible. And today we're going to look at one of them, which happens to be my favorite passage, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So today we're going to get into Romans 12 and dig a little deeper to see how transformation applies to us today. Are you ready? Great. So before we start, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we will hear with joy what you say to us today. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So only two verses today, so I'm hoping we're going to get through this in time. But here we go, Romans 12, 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." It's a great, great word. Let me read it to you in the Message, just to give you a bit of a comparison. This is the same verses in the Message. Romans 12:1 in the Message. "So, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you." Isn't that powerful? Isn't that so good? So first, a little bit of background on the book of Romans so we can understand where we're at. So the book of Romans is where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome. And his letter to the Romans is considered the greatest theological document ever written. It is really comprehensive and complete. Paul systematically explains the good news, the climactic revelation of God to the world through his son, Jesus Christ. Paul reflects on the human condition and on the meaning of our lives on earth and on our hope for the world to come. And then we get to chapter 12, where we are today. And this is like the pivot point in the letter. The first 11 chapters are actually building up to this key thought, that you have to understand how we get to this point in order for this thought to actually make sense going forwards. So chapter 12, verse 1 begins with the word therefore. Really important. Oh, sorry, can we have a look at the NIV translation? Sorry, Mel. Therefore. Right. Well, and so, I mean, that's another way of saying therefore, isn't it? It's a little bit more obvious this way. So in verse 1, it begins with therefore. Now, if you had come to our How to Study the Bible series last year, you may recognize that the word therefore is a joining word, and it's a really important, pivotal word whenever we're doing study, right? So we need to understand everything that was said previously so that we can understand what we're here or what we're there for, therefore, right? So in the light of everything that was written before, I now tell you this. Because of God's mercy and love toward us, because of the work of Christ on the cross who bore all of our sins, because of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, in other words, in view of God's mercy, do this. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So because God has given his precious Son for us, our response to that is to give ourselves wholeheartedly to him. And this is our spiritual act of worship. Our spiritual act of worship. Our offering to God is to give him every part of our lives, holding nothing back. And the way that we worship God is actually worked out in how we live out our life in the day-to-day. So that is that worship isn't just coming here on a Sunday and singing a few songs, right? Don't get me wrong, that's great and we need to do that. But it's actually how we get up in the morning, our prayer when we wake up. It's the way that we treat others with love and compassion. It's the way that we live in this world, the way that God has called us to be the light in the world. It's the way that we pray when we lay down to sleep. It's in the hard times and it's in the good times when we remember God and give him thanks. Yeah? We worship God and we give him thanks and that's our offering to him. That's what we offer up in response to him to us. And so this leads on to verse 2. Don't conform. I love how it's translated in the message. It says, don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you just fit in without even thinking. Can anyone relate to that? So, don't conform. Don't be like the world around us. Don't accept the status quo. Don't believe that you're powerless to change the world around you. Because as believers, we're going to stand out, right? Yeah? It's in our name, C3 Stand, right? We're going to draw a line in the sand. We're going to make a stand for God, right? Remember that? So we're going to be different, right? I know sometimes we don't like to stand out, but we're going to. And that's okay. God's asking us to be different. The way that we live, the way that we treat others, these things are going to set us apart. Now, even in the early church, this was the thing that distinguished Christians from the rest of the world. In a report to the Roman Emperor Hadrian in 125 AD, Aristides, who was a philosopher, he was a Greek philosopher, actually went and did a survey of the society and made a report about Christians and the early church to the emperor. And he wrote this, Christians know and believe in God as the creator of heaven and earth, in whom and from whom all things exist. They have learned God's commandments and they live by them in the hope of the world to come. Now, for this reason, they do not commit adultery or engage in sexual immorality. They do not give false testimony in court or withhold someone's deposit or envy another person's possessions. They honor their father and mother. They are helpful to their neighbors. As judges, they make decisions with justice and mercy. Christians do not worship idols. Anything they do not want others to do to them, they do not do to others. It's kind of like the do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but in reverse. Christian men do not enter into illegal marriages or engage in sexual promiscuity. Out of love for their slaves and children, if they have any, they encourage them to become Christians. And if they do so, they are called brothers and sisters without distinction. So in their society, there was like a hierarchy, right? And slaves were kind of second-class citizens. But as soon as they became believers, they were treated like real brothers and sisters. unheard of in the rest of society. Christians do not lie. They love one another and they take care of their widows. Orphans are protected from those who would harm them. They willingly share what they have with those in need. Now, these are things that are marked as different and unusual. The rest of culture did not behave like that, right? This is the church being different. They bring strangers into their home and welcome them as true brothers and sisters. Christians, as they are able, provide for the burial of their poor when they die. Now, they didn't have funeral insurance back then, right? They provide help for those among them who are imprisoned or oppressed because of their faith in Christ. When there is a person in poverty or need among them and they do not have the resources at hand to help, they will fast for 2 or 3 days in order to provide the food needed. They go out of their way to provide for others. The good works they do are not made public to impress others, but rather are done unnoticed so they can hide their deeds as one who finds a treasure and then hides it. They weren't doing it for the recognition, yeah? Every morning and at all hours, they give praise and thanks to God for the gifts they have received, for food and drink. They also give thanks to God. This is the content of the Christian's law and the way that they live their lives. What a powerful statement. Now, this is not a believer. This is like a philosopher who's just observing the way that these people behave, right? And he's reporting that to the government. So this is how the ancient world saw Christians. There was something different about them. They were like a new breed of humans almost that looked out for others and truly cared. They were radicals in the sense that society didn't have the same values or ideals. These guys were nonconformists, right? They were radicals. They did things like love the poor and the sick and the needy, right? Who does that? Huh? They loved the unlovable. They showed compassion for people. In a world where everyone looked out for number one, here were people who genuinely cared for others. That was what set them apart. They didn't conform. That's what nonconformance looks like. So verse 2, do not conform, but be transformed. The Apostle Paul says, don't be conformed, be transformed. We can't live life according to a bunch of rules that say, don't do this or don't do that. In fact, Tash and I were having a bit of a talk, were she? No. We were having a bit of a chat about this before church, about rules and how, you know, we can't live our life according to the don'ts. We don't live life in the don'ts. We have to live life in the do's, right? Don't do the don'ts, do the do's. Right? Because if we spend all of our life according to rules, it's not going to work. It's going to create anxiety. It's going to create stress. You know, we're going to resent that stuff. That's not how God's calling us to live. God's calling us to live a different way. And that's living life in the do's. Be transformed. Be changed. Be different. Think outside the box. Don't look at what others do in the world and copy them. Look for a different pattern. God is challenging us to look for a different pattern. So how do we do that? Well, we go on by renewing our mind. We change the way that we think. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, at the start of the verse in the King James, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Someone once said it like this, garbage in, garbage out. What are we feeding into our heart, right? That's what's going to come out. So in order to change that, we need to change this. We need to transform our thinking. To be the best version of ourselves, we fix our attention to God. We ask ourselves, what does God think of this? What does God think of this? How can we know what God thinks? Well, the way we do that was get into the Word of God. What does it say in the Bible? When we want to know what God wants to say, we can read His Word and He'll tell us through His Word. And we can pray and we can ask God to speak to us and God will answer. He's faithful to do that. So when we pray, God will answer. What's He saying to us? Remember, Pastor Lisa challenged us all to pray and ask God for a word for 2025. Did you do that? Yeah? Some people did. Yeah? Neil and I were talking about that before. I was like, I did. I just didn't write it down. But I think that's important. You know, you write it down and then you can reflect on it and meditate on it. because that word will sustain you. It will inspire you. It will transform your thinking and then ultimately transform our actions. And when we do all that, what's the result? Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. So the last part of verse, Romans 12, verse 2, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. So when you say, well, I don't really understand what God wants of me, well, get into the Word of God. As you read the Bible, you allow His Word to soak into your very being, into your soul. You let your Holy Spirit guide you. You listen to His words to you. Then you'll be able to understand God's will for you and your life. This is a spiritual law of consequence. A spiritual law of consequence. Every action has a consequence. And we say that again. Every action has a consequence. If the action is that you get into God's word, the consequence is that will seep into your being, change your thoughts, and you will be transformed. That's the spiritual law. So verse 2 in the message says it like this. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's transformation. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. In other words, put it into action, apply it in your life. So unlike the culture around you always dragging you down, God brings out the best in you. So in other words, living in line with God's will will allow us to live our best life. Amen? Yeah? And the result is that we experience shalom, that we experience God's peace, that we experience God's restoration work in our life, that we experience God's growth in our life, that we will put down roots that are strong and they're going to weather any storm, that we're going to grow into like a mighty tree that's not going to be moved by the things around us, but we are sustained by the power of God, yeah? And we're going to grow and flourish. Now, I can hear you say, Pastor Paul, we've talked about reality TV shows, we've talked about ancient government reports, favorite verses, the Transformers. That's great, but what does it mean for me? And as I was praying about this word today, about transformation, God gave me the word origami, right? That's pretty random, right? Isn't it great? Has anyone done origami before? Done a little bit of paper folding? Okay, so Wikipedia says that origami is a Japanese art of paper folding, and the goal is to transform a flat square sheet of paper into a finished sculpture. So we're going to do a practical piece, practical example. So on your sheet, on your seat, keep talking. Yeah, I am talking. Awesome. So do a practical example. We're actually going to fold some origami together. You ready to give this a shot? Here we go. All right, so take your sheet of paper like this. We're going to turn it over so we've got the plain side, and then we're going to fold the corners over. Now we've got it up on the screen. Great. And we want to try and get those folds as precise as we can. All right, so we end up with a triangle like this. It's going to be a bit of a challenge to do it on your feet or on your leg or on the chair, but just do the best you can. Okay, we're going to open it up again. So we've now got the plain side up, and we're going to take one side like this and fold it along the crease. Right? Yeah. I wondered how many paper airplanes might actually turn up. Okay, and then we're going to do the same on the other side. So we end up with... No, it's going to fold to the middle line. Yep. So we're going to end up with something that looks a bit like that. Yeah, looks a bit like a kite. That's right. All right. For those who first started this is actually really quite an interesting process, isn't it? I was doing this with a friend of mine because I'm not really much of an origami man, but I know he was. So I said, teach me some origami. So we're sitting down at the coffee shop doing this one. Okay, turn it over. And now what we're going to do is the same thing again. So we take that fold and we fold into the middle. So like that. And then we're going to do on the other side as well. So we're going to end up. Yeah, it's when you first start, all your creases and folds are not really precise, and as you get more skilled with it, you know when you need to do it and when you don't. All right. So, yep, we're all good. All right. Now, we take the point like this and we fold it up to the top. Mark needs another piece. Okay. Now, this is where it gets a little bit tricky. So we're following along so far? Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to fold that bit like that. So we fold it in half so that... All right. Now, we take this bit and we just pull up a little bit like that. All right, pinch it, pinch that. So what we've actually done is we've basically done like they call it a mountain fold. Taking this part here, we're going to fold that. We're going to kind of do like a what they call a Z fold. Yeah, so you fold it and fold it back, right? Yes, this is actually, okay. And then we'll do that one. If I do this right, I should end up with, and then we end up with a swan, right? Yeah? All right. Yeah, sorry. And then it should just be that. Right? All right. That's pretty cool, isn't it, eh? There's a swan. Now, here's the thing. Is that paper any different now? Did we add anything to that piece of paper? No. Did we take away anything from that piece of paper? This piece of paper submitted to your will, right? The will of the Creator who turned it into something. So I'm going to just do something a bit different here. I'm going to take the same piece of paper and I'm going to fold it differently, right? So we could take that same piece of paper and we could turn it into a paper airplane. In fact, I half expected, well done, very good. I half expected that to happen, that maybe the kids would actually see some of these and go, oh, fantastic. So if, that would be really good. But you can take these and you can fold them all sorts of different ways, because we could take this piece of paper and we could screw it up and we could just throw it away. But what's happening is that where the piece of paper submits to the will of the Creator, and when that happens, it gets transformed into something amazing, right? So when the piece of paper submits to the will of the Creator, it gets turned into something amazing, right? That's right. That piece of paper won't ever become something amazing unless the Creator comes and does something. Oh, you know what? I actually followed that one the wrong way around. You know, if you make a mistake, the cool part about it is that you can always undo a mistake. All right, here we go. So I'm just going to keep folding here while we're doing this. But did anyone guess that we were going to do a swan? No? You got a duck? Okay. A duck. Traditionally, they call that a swan, but that's okay. All right. But here's the thing, right? Sometimes when God is moving us into a position and he's folding us, we don't get what it's all about, right? You know how sometimes, you know, God tells us to do stuff and we go, what am I doing here? You know, when Abraham was up on the mountain and God's telling him to go up and sacrifice and take Isaac with him, and he's going, well, you know, you're asking me to give up my son. What's going on? I don't see the picture. In the same way that, you know, as a paper folder, we don't actually know how it's going to end up. As a piece of paper, you may not see the final result. You may not understand. But if we just trust in God and let God have his way in us, we can be transformed into something amazing. And sometimes we don't see the process as we're doing it, because that's the way God works. He's in that place of knowing when we don't know. And so we need to trust that when God is going to do something, he's going to do something amazing. And sometimes we get, like in these folds, we're getting folded backwards and forwards. And sometimes as part of the deal, we get folded in a way and then unfolded. We don't understand what that's all about. But what's really happening is that God, as soon as I figure out what I did wrong there, I'm really close, yes. Yeah, that's it. So I've done this like 10 times now, and I've got much better at it over time. There we go. So Rebecca knows what I'm doing. Rebecca's seen that before. That's born from experience, isn't it, Rebecca? But see, I've taken a piece of paper and I've turned that into a crane. Right? And in fact, yeah, crane. Yeah. Yeah, not that kind of crane, a different one. But see, you know, we could do all sorts of things. For example, we could, here's one I did earlier, we could make a cup. Here's an origami cup. Or, there's my crane again. Or, here's a rose. Or, very importantly, and this one took me forever with my friend Chris, an elephant, which is just amazing. Don't ask me to do that one. I need more help to get that one sorted out. Right? See, the thing is, God doesn't make us all the same. And the way that he directs me will be different to how he directs you. He might make me into a swan, but he might make you into a crane or a flower or an elephant, or maybe even something practical like a cup. So when we submit to God, the way that he's folding us doesn't make sense to us. I'll just go back to this one. And it doesn't make sense to us because we can't see the bigger picture. Sometimes it looks like we're going in reverse when in actual fact, God is preparing us for something amazing. That elephant fold, you start by folding and folding and folding and folding, and you make like 100 different folds, and then you unravel it all, and what it leaves is these little crease lines. And then when you go to do it for real, those crease lines are the guides that actually turn it into what it is today. And this is the point that God was really trying to emphasize to me, that, you know, when God is finished, we'll see that all those little sidesteps, and they feel like detours, they feel like I've been going in the wrong direction, they aren't a step backwards. It's actually a preparation for a major step forward. In fact, you can't make that step forward until you've done that step, right? You can't finish the crane at the end. You have to actually start. You have to go through each bit, backwards and forwards, in and out, backwards and forwards. That's how this works. God wants to conform us to his will, and sometimes he's going to bend us out of shape, right? But if we trust him in the process, if we persevere, what we're going to see is he's going to then turn us into this amazing creation. So let's just say that, you know, when he's finished, we're going to see that this wasn't a step backwards. It was a preparation for a major step forward. And this year is a major step forward. Amen? And all the backward steps of last year are preparation for what God has in store for us in 2025. I believe that with all my heart. I declare that here today, that 2025 is going to be that major step forward, and we're going to see that. And all the stuff from last year is just preparation for what amazing things are going to happen this year. Amen? All right, here we go. I'm sorry, I've actually gone over time by a lot. But are you okay? Are we good with that? All right. We're just going to pray now. Just like you guys to close your eyes for a moment. So let me ask you this. What does transformation look like in your life? Transformation requires change. So what needs to change in your life to allow God's transformational power to operate? A friend of mine said recently, if you don't change the way you're living, you're not going to have a new year. You're going to have the same year over again. If you don't change the way you're living, you're not going to have a new year. You're going to have the same year over again. Is that what you want? 2024 is done and dusted. It's in the past. Today, we have a chance to stop, to reflect, and reset so that we can move in a new direction. So what model do we want to follow? What model does God want us to follow? So the philosopher Aristides said to the Emperor Hadrian, this is what a Christ follower is like. They know and believe in God as a creator of heaven and earth. They have learnt God's commands and they live by them. For this reason, they don't worship idols. They don't lie. They love one another and take care of their widows. Orphans are protected. They willingly share what they have with those in need. The good works they do are not made public to impress others, but rather are done unnoticed, so they may hide their deeds as one who finds a treasure and hides it. Every morning and at all hours they give praise and thanks to God for the gifts they received. For food and drink they also give thanks to God. Is this a model that we can live our lives with? God's calling us for transformation because this world desperately needs to know the God of all creation that lives inside of us. And if we do this, we're not going to do it under our own strength, only through the strength of God within us. My challenge for you today is this. Will you offer your body as a living sacrifice to God? Will you submit to God's will in your life? Will you allow the creator of the universe to direct you, even when he's going to fold you into all sorts of weird shapes, and it's going to feel odd, and it's going to feel difficult? And in those times, will you trust him? Will you trust him? And see that transformation happen in your life. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word today. We thank you for your transformational power operating in us and through us. Lord, would you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit? Would you give us boldness? Lord, would you just show us how we could submit to you and be transformed. Lord, would you renew our thought process? Would you renew our heart so that this year would be a true year of transformation? And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. Well, as we close the service, I think what we can go into our week asking is, how does God want to transform you? Because as Paul showed us, so well. It can come in all different shapes and forms. So you have to ask God, how is God trying to transform your life? Because it's going to be different for each and every one of us. So as we go into this week, just spend time with God, spend time in prayer, thinking about Pastor Elton's message last week, to step into that calling, to step into that transformation that we've been learning about, and ask God how that looks in each and every one of our lives. So thank you, church, and have a blessed week. We will be back next week with Pastor Lisa as we continue the Free Flow series. So God bless and have a good week.